you're right, God is not mentioned anywhere.
God, Christ, you know, the only thing is, in the year of our Lord, and it's amazing what constitutional Christians try to make out of that document, out of that statement, excuse me, the dating. You know, okay, so the only credit our God gets, if even they weren't just using it as a means of dating, which was very common at the time,
yeah.
But let's say that they actually meant, you know, they meant something of that. The only thing our God gets in the document, or Christ gets, is to be the date keeper. You know?
Yeah.
The time clock.
Yeah.
That's his credit, you know?
Well, I say, and our Lord, I mean, as many people from diverse religions as we have running around today, yeah, define that, you know?
Yeah. You know, let a Muslim read that. What Lord do you think he's going to read into that?
Yeah, there is that. Yeah, that's an interesting point. You're giving me a lot of stuff to think about, and certainly no doubt about it. Well, I'll tell you what, I want to take a gamble and take some calls, but to do that, I'm still going to have to put you on this other line. Would you mind if I hung up with you here and try calling you on this other line real quick? Because I got you in redial. If it doesn't work, yeah, I'll just call you right back.
And I think, just a heads up, let's not plan on me probably going beyond 7.
Okay. All right.
Or that's 7 my time.
7 your time.
That'd be 8 o'clock your time.
Okay, yeah, that's good, because in the last hour, you know, we could do some commentary and stuff and wrap things up. But let's see if we can...
Well, and your callers may keep us busy anyway.
That's true. All right, let me
check. I'll hang up and you call me back on the other line.
All right, we'll try that.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see if we can bring him up on this over here. Let me wake this computer up first. All right, let me see if this will work. It did this time.
Duh.
I don't know what happened.
Hello.
Hey, there you are.
There we go. That time it worked.
It might have been yours truly with weird fingers putting in wrong characters.
Okay.
So there is that possibility, too. But now I got you over here. And so maybe we can make something work out of this. So we'll try this and see how this goes. So if anybody has any calls... If you want to call in and talk to Ted regarding anything we've discussed so far, the phone number, in fact, let me open up the phone or nobody's going to get anywhere. 314-698-4615. Let me get that dial tone out of there. Let me pot that down on channel 5, and then we'll try it again. Let's do this. This show has been kind of, you know, just kind of run it by the seat of your pants because things didn't go right the first time. But anyway, the phone is open now. If you'd like to call in, 314-698-4615. That's 314-698-4615. Just be aware that toll charges will apply if you're calling from a phone without unlimited long distance. So some of you may want to, if you've got weekend free calling plans, you could use your cell phone or whatever you want to do. 314-698-4615. What I will do is if you call in and Ted and I are talking, I'll just pick up the phone and Ted can finish what he's saying, and then I will pot you up and we'll see who you are and we'll take your call. So the phone is open. Go ahead, Ted.
While we're waiting for that first call in, if we haven't spooked them off, let me mention again the website, if you don't mind.
No, that's fine.
BibleVersusConstitution.org. It's Bible versus, versus spelled out, V-E-R-S-U-S, Constitution.org. And I would mention again that if you'll go to, as soon as you get there, you can go over to the right-hand sidebar, look for our Constitution survey, the second entry from the top and in the right-hand sidebar. If you'll take that 10-question Constitution survey, I will immediately, Lord willing, send out a complimentary copy of the 85-page primer of the 575-page complete Bible Law versus Constitution, the Christian Perspective. So it's a reduced version of the big book, and I'll send it to you free, get it right off to you, and it's a good way to get started on your study on this if you haven't already done it some other way.
Absolutely. Okay, very good.
Let me also remind your listeners of this as well, if I can, Sam.
Yeah.
And that is that you can also go to our online book page. All but two or three of the 25-plus books and booklets that I've written are on our webpage free. You can download, for example, the entire 575 pages of the Bible Law versus Constitution right off our webpage. So we're not into this trying to make money. We're trying to get the message out to for King and Kingdom versus we the people and the constitutional secular republic,
right.
Humanistic republic.
Right. But yet at the same time, it does cost money to produce these things. So if people can help, it would be good if they could kind of help you out there a little bit.
Well, donations certainly keep us going and allow us to keep printing and keep preaching. But I just don't make it an issue that people, if they can use it, if they'll use it for themselves or someone else, and they just simply, I know economic times are sometimes tough.
Sure.
And if they can't afford the suggested donation, then we will send it to them free.
And see, I like the spirit in which you're doing this, because you know that's another thing too. I find in today's churches, it's become more about making money than it is about really. I think one of the things that has really bothered me with today's churches is the fact that we've abandoned the original gospel music now, even in the churches today. And that's somewhat of a separate subject, but it kind of shows you where we've slipped, because there was one time where hymn books, other than just buying the hymn book itself, we didn't have all these rigid copyright things and all this stuff we got now, and the churches have aligned themselves with the recording industry of America now, with all this contemporary gospel stuff, and if you want to call it that. Now it's gotten to the point where they've climbed in bed with the secular record labels in order to get their music now, and I find a big problem with that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really, and that's part of the reason that I just got to a point where I can't even attend most churches anymore for that very reason. But 314-698-4615. If any of you would have any questions, I won't keep Ted too long. So if you got any questions, get him in now, because when he's done, he's done. Okay. Yeah, you just have to contact him via email or whatever at that point. But he's here, and you can call in and ask any questions that you might have, or pose anything that you want to pose, and then he can answer you, because you know, he studied this stuff pretty thoroughly, and I'm learning a lot as I go along too. So one of the things too that I know that has been a big issue, and I know Charlie and I've talked about this too, and that is the fact that you know, when it comes to, for example, and this is another part of the Constitution where we've gone wrong in the 16th Amendment, which allows taxes to be, you know, however government can get them is pretty much how they can get them, which makes, you know, which goes against God's law, because Charlie and I know, and I have talked about this, about it being, you know, against God's law to tax a man's labor, and yet here we have in the Constitution the 16th Amendment. Now, the constitutional, the, you know, people who teach the Constitution would say that, well, that was never properly ratified by the states, but they never took it out. It's still there. And so that would be another issue in which, under God's law, how does taxation go under God's law as opposed to what we would have under man's law today, would you say, as a good example?
Okay, well, first of all, let me mention in chapter 25 of Bible Law versus United States Constitution, either the book itself or the online page devoted to that chapter, is entitled Amendment 16, Graduated Income Tax versus Flat Increase Tax. Now, previously, you had brought up liberty, and that, and the idea of, you know, so often today's preachers are vilifying God's law as burdensome, and dominion under His law as being the most terrible thing that a Christian could ever promote, when in fact it's God's law that provides us with liberty. Of course, individual liberty is found only in Christ and His atoning blood sacrifice.
Right.
When we're promoting the God's law, we're not promoting justification by keeping the law. Justification, redemption, salvation, forgiveness, and anything comparable is found only through the blood atoning sacrifice of Christ and His resurrection from the grave. That nobody's arguing that. But the fact that Christ did that for us individually didn't eliminate God's morality as reflected in his laws, God forbid, for society to live by. And so those are two different issues. But that's usually, people want to try to make it look like you're trying to be justified by law. Well, who in the world would want to be try to be justified by the law? You know, that didn't work under the Mosaic Covenant. It's not going to work for us today. So it's ridiculous. But anyway, when we're talking about God's law, we're not talking about all that. We're talking about, when we are talking about the perfect law of liberty, as James described it, because therein is liberty for us. We find our individual liberty in Christ. We find societal liberty through his perfect law of liberty. So we talked about that. We talked about liberty. Well, you want to talk about liberty when it comes to taxes?
Yeah.
Take the graduated income tax under the Constitutional Republic, whether it's still here, like you said, whether the whole argument is superfluous to say, well, it was never done constitutionally. Well, it's part of the whirlwind, people. They sowed the wind, we're reaping the whirlwind. But so the question is not whether it was constitutionally done. The question that we need to be asking, was it biblical? And no, it wasn't biblical. Neither the wind, the taxation provided initially by the Constitution, nor the whirlwind under Amendment 16, is the question is not whether it's constitutional, it's whether it's biblical. And so we got graduated income tax, we've got sales tax, we've got property tax. Probably the most insidious of all taxes is property tax.
Yeah.
And because of it, and well, it all comes from Amendment 5, by the way, that allowed for government to confiscate private land, whether by eminent domain, whether by property tax, or by public lands.
Yeah.
There is not an inch of America's land today that's not owned by the government, federal or state. There is not a person living today who has a piece of property. You are simply... what's the word I want? Not leasers, but that'll do.
You're renters.
Renters or leasers, and there's a better term than even those. But the point is still understood, that you're just simply renting the land, and if you don't believe that's the case, just stop paying your property taxes, and you'll find out who really owns the land. He'll show up and throw you into jail, thanks to Amendment 5. So we're talking about all of these different taxes that are now under the Constitutional Republic's taxation system as compared to the Bible's taxation system, which is 10% across the board. And yes, it was, the tithe was a tax. Tithe simply means 10% that was given for ecclesiastical judicial purposes. 10% across the board, but only upon one's increase. You have to have an increase to even be liable for the biblical tax. No increase, no tax. And it's voluntary to begin with. God, you know, and when you've got a government that is what Paul depicts, a government based upon God's law, governed by biblically qualified judges who are a terror to the righteous and a blessing to the a terror to the wicked and a blessing to the righteous. You know, most people are going to say, "Man, I'm more than happy to give 10% of my increase," and that leaves 90% of your increase and everything else below that to yourself. So you want to talk about liberty, let's just talk about the taxation systems of the two, biblical taxation or constitutional republic taxation.
Yeah. Trish came in here. Hang on. Hang on. Did you have something you want on the air, Trish? Or? All right, hang on. Let me pot you up on, hang on, I got to find it first. There we go. There's my wife, Trish. She
Hi.
Called in on the intercom, Ted.
Hi, Trish.
How are
Hi,
you?
Trish. Oh, you sound much sweeter than your husband.
Thank you.
And I'll bet you're better looking, too.
Well, did we even care to mention about the suspicious nature of the way they formed that constitution, the way they boarded the place up and whatnot, and wouldn't allow other people in.
Excellent point, yes. It was a clandestine meeting of
yes.
a bunch of Enlightenment and Freemasons.
Yes, indeed.
And I think, I'm not absolutely certain, but I do have the correct figure in, I believe it's chapter 5 of the book. I think it was 35, attorneys. None of them were lawyers.
Oh.
I have a blog article entitled Lawyers versus Legalers. They were legalers, not even lawyers, because, again, Isaiah 33:22 says there's only one lawgiver, thus there's only one law, and thus the only lawyers are those who promote God's law, like Ezra did in Ezra 7:10.
Yeah.
And the rest of them are just a bunch of legalers. They're legalizing what God has made unlawful and making illegal what he's made lawful.
Oh.
And that's what they did. They were, you know, everybody says there were 35 lawyers, and that's bad enough, but they weren't even lawyers. They were legalers.
Yeah.
A bunch of legalers who made legal what God has condemned, whether it be by the wind they originally sown or the whirlwind. Sodomy now, you know, they're
yeah.
Saying, sodomites can be married. Well, that's a part of the whirlwind from that same document.
Oh, gosh.
But thank you for mentioning that. And I would mention that in regards to that, Trish, I had mentioned earlier that there was four books that all came out within a two-year period of my book, and
mm-hmm.
one of them was by Dr. Gary North,
mm-hmm.
entitled, and because this goes right along with what you asked, let's see if I can... and I carry the book on our book list. You can get it. Well, hang on here. I'll have to go to my store page. Conspiracy in Philadelphia, The Broken Covenant of the United States Constitution. And in that book, he doesn't go through the Constitution like I do, examining by the Bible, but he shows the very thing that you pointed out, that it was a conspiracy that was done... You know, they weren't even legitimized by the state governments to do
oh,
what they did.
Oh my! Oh, and then what about the fact that they didn't even though you know you might have some questions about the Articles of Confederation, it was never rescinded.
That's right. That's right. Now, the Articles of Confederation and the state constitutions, they at least had the as weak as they were, the Christian test. They didn't have all the biblical qualifications for civil leaders.
Right.
So in some regards, those state constitutions were better than, certainly much better than the federal constitution. But they didn't hold a candle to what we had in the early 1600s.
Oh, no. No, I'm sure.
Because those were based upon God's laws, and already the Enlightenment thinking had even infiltrated the original state constitutions. Better, but still not anything like what we'd want them to be. If we're going to go back to our Christian heritage here in America, we need to go back to the early 1600s. Everything changed in 1787.
Well, you know, Adam Weishaupt with the Illuminati started
right.
the Illuminati in 1776, supposedly the same day our Declaration. At least that's what I've been told.
Yeah, I'm not sure about those dates, but I can't argue against them either, so I don't know about that. But there was certainly a lot of that kind of influence. And you know, I believe there's a lot of good men out there.
Yeah.
Who have been bamboozled.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. To think that, and then you know, David Barton, for example. I just attended another one of his meetings because he was here local. I wanted to see, you know, again what he had to say. And you know, as good, as well tended as I hope that he is. You know, I consider him the most dangerous man in America.
Oh, well, he is counsel for national policy.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
That's a whole nother organization,
oh,
Ted.
Oh, my
that
gosh.
You start going down that rabbit trail.
Oh, look online at the list of people, and that's outdated.
Well, and even without that, you know, he has probably had more influence on probably millions of, at least thousands of people, maybe hundreds of thousands of people across the United States over the 40, 50 years that he's been doing what he's been doing,
yes.
Convincing people that those men were Christians when they were nothing but a bunch of theistic rationalists, and that document was biblical when it was biblically seditious. And if you go to one of his meetings, you better be prepared. You better be grounded in God's Word, because he is as smooth as they get.
Oh, yeah. Silver-tongued devil.
What's that?
Silver-tongued devil.
Well, and I don't even believe he knows he's a devil, you know, in that
yeah,
regard.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, well, the only thing I will say on this is, in all fairness, he was the one I got, in fact, I'd love to find it again in digital form, but he used to have the New England Primers rewritten from the 1600s. It's just a shame that a lot of that stuff didn't go any further with him than it did, but he did reprint them. And Trish and I were so starved for that knowledge, we took one of those books and literally wore out the bookbinder.
No, we didn't wear it out on that one.
We didn't? One of them we wore out on the OCR scanner.
Yeah, it was the Youth Connection Cookbook. But anyway.
Okay, I thought we wore out that other one, too, because to throw a book on a flatbed scanner and to scan it in, you know, you got to open it up way further than you'd normally open a book.
And
we read the New England Primer from one end to the other.
Yeah, we did.
And go ahead.
And let me mention this, that, you know, that's going back to our Christian foundation, our biblical roots.
Yes, it is.
But what they attempt to do is try to make it one flowing historical record from that time through the constitutional framers and the other founding fathers in the 18th century. And it is anything but a continuation. It is the exact opposite.
Wow.
And it doesn't take much, you know, once your eyes are really even open to the idea, and I'm saying this for the sake of your audience, to the idea that this document may not be biblically compatible. Grab a constitution, you probably have never read it in the first place, but read it with the Bible and God's law in mind. And once you have your eyes even begin to open up to this possibility, I believe you're going to see it. And if you need some help, again, my book is available for free if you can't afford it, or online if you want to download it right from our website. And again, the primer is available for free if you take the Constitution Survey there on our website.
I'm going to download it some of these days, and we're going to start studying it on our own, I think.
Yeah, because the good thing is, particularly in digital format, we can read those things.
Yeah.
And Trish, she usually gets to them before I get to them, but she will get to it, I guarantee you.
Well, I, from the sounds of Trish, I think she's going to keep you in line.
Well, I thank you, and I've enjoyed this show, and I will go ahead and let somebody else get through. Which I'm not taking up any space on the phone line as far as that goes, because I'm on the speaker.
You're on the intercom in the house,
yeah.
in the building here, but that's okay. I mean, I know what you're saying, in case somebody comes through on the studio line or something,
right.
You can go ahead and ring through, but that's okay. Well, Trish,
I'm glad you joined us, Trish, because I hadn't thought to bring up what you did. And like I said, Dr. Gary North's book, Conspiracy in Philadelphia, The Broken Covenant of the U.S. Constitution, covers that material better than I. It's a whole another way of dealing with what was going on at the time. So we carry that book on our book page. I don't have downloaded because it wasn't my material. But
no,
I think I'm pretty sure you can go. In fact, I know you can Google that, and you can get a downloadable copy of his book as well. It just can't be found on my website.
Okay.
But the book itself is available.
Alrighty.
And unless you've... Trish, thank you again.
Sure, thank you. And it's been great to talk to you.
Well, great. Sam, unless you've got a call, I thought I'd mention another book here.
Hang on, let me get this out of here. There we go. Okay, that's good. I got that out there. But, wow, that's good. Hey, you guys can call in, too. If the lady of the house can call in, you can, too. So there ain't nothing stopping you.
think we maybe scared them off.
Maybe we did. Trish and I, we have a good time picking on each other. She's real short and I'm real tall. I'm about 6 foot and she's like 4'6" 3/4". But I always tell people, dynamite does come in small packages, you know.
Yeah, you better believe it. My wife is, we're about the same as you, and my wife's not quite that short, but she's on the shorter side too.
Yeah, so. She still has clean toes on her shoes, so she hasn't kicked too hard. So anyway, but yeah, anybody like to call in, you can. 314-698-4615. That's 314-698-4615. And by the way, again, Ted, I want to thank you. Your messages have been just absolutely wonderful to listen to on the station here, and I really have enjoyed. You really have, and I mean this sincerely. One of the things that has been keeping me from really getting into the scriptures as much as I would have liked to earlier is the fact that I didn't have real good understanding of it because I'd been indoctrinated from the church, and a lot of it just didn't make sense, you know. And it wasn't until first I started talking to Charlie, and Charlie started answering questions, and he got me connected with you, and then we started airing your stuff, your sermons on the station here, and that's when things really started coming alive for me. And so it's really helped me a lot. And when I go back and I start looking at things, I look at things in a lot different manner. But I want to come back to something that you stated earlier. We were talking about Romans 13. Though Chuck Baldwin has a long way to go, we air his sermons on here too. In fact, he was the first non-501c3 preacher that we started airing here on the station before everybody else. But he made a statement one time that out there where he is, he's in Montana now, and he made a statement that he was talking to a preacher there because he too has talked about Romans 13. Now, he's not where you are on the Constitution or anything like that. I don't know how long it's going to take him. He's kind of being drug kicking and screaming, so to speak. I don't mean literally, but if you get my drift, there's been some things he's had to changes his thoughts on, you know, regarding things that he was taught in the Baptist church.
The fact that he has speaks well of him, and I know I've kind of been a thorn in his side, but I hope he knows it's been with good intent in case he hears any of this, and I hope he'll take a look at this like he has some other issues here recently,
right,
that's opened his eyes. And I know he's, you know, I just mentioned here in a message here, not I think it was the last message I preached in my Hosea series, that when people come around, there's going to be a need to be a big book burning. And, you know, it's, you know, I just hope people aren't so invested in, like, guys like David Barton, that they're not so invested that they just can't repent.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be the losers in the end if that's the case.
Yeah. Well, he was saying in one of his sermons that he was talking to a preacher there, and this preacher was trying to tell Chuck that that Romans 13 was about obeying secular government no matter what. And so Chuck asked him, he said, okay, so basically what you're saying is that if a throng of government soldiers broke into your house and threatened to rape your wife, you'd have to let them, wouldn't you? And he said, yes. So, I mean, that really shows you how far gone we are in the churches today.
Yeah, we've become, you know, the pastors, and certainly not all of them, and Chuck's certainly not one of them, but our pastors have become impotent pacifists. And, you know, when that time comes, I think something within them would bring them to their senses. I would hope.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, they're teaching a whole lot of people to be anything but what God. In fact, you look at 1 Timothy 5:8, you take the principle of providing for your own. If you do not provide for your own, you're worse than an infidel. And provision for your own begins. It commences with spiritual and physical protection. I mean, because what's the use of providing a home, clothing, fooding, sustenance, or whatever, if you allow the murderer, the rapist, or the thief to come and take it away from your wife and children?
Yeah.
you're worse than an infidel if you're a Christian promoting that kind of abomination. It's, you know, it's just, it's incredible that any man, and he can hardly be called a man if that's the case, and God calls him worse than an infidel if you take that position.
Yeah.
You know, that's something we don't have a lot of time, but something we may want to talk about here is the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of, in addition to Amendment 1, and maybe just as much so, so many Christians that are not like the man you just depicted hang their hat on a Second Amendment like they do Amendment 1. And in this case, whereas Amendment 1 is one of the worst components of the entire Constitution, Amendment 2 is at least somewhat close to what it should be. However, you know, you take the America was sold down the river alone when, if nothing else had happened, it was sold down the river when the 18th century founding fathers replaced biblical, let me back up, non-optional biblical responsibilities for optional Enlightenment rights. And nothing proves it better than the Second Amendment. You know, think about it. The amendment with the wording shall not be infringed is the most infringed, licensed, and limited amendment of all 27.
Yeah.
And so here we are promoting the Second Amendment when we should be the optional right. You know, under the Second Amendment, Sam, you and I have the optional right to bear arms in defense of our wives and children and others. It's just a right. It's optional. We don't have to do it. It doesn't require us to do it. It gives us the option. It's an optional right, whereas under the Bible, Psalms 149, 6 through 9, and 1 Timothy 5, 8, which I just quoted, it's a non-optional responsibility
right.
that I protect my family, my wife, and my children. And I'm worse than an infidel if I don't. And then ask these questions, then we should ask these questions, and that is, which is more potent, an optional right or a non-optional responsibility? Which is more likely to be infringed, licensed, and limited? Which did the pre-Second Amendment Americans look to as their authority for bearing arms with little or no infringement? And of course, it was the non-responsibility, the non-optional responsibility, the non-optional biblical responsibility to bear arms in defense of yourself, your family, and others.
Yeah.
We are our brother's keeper. You know, we have the example of Moses, and he's lauded for it. Most people think he did a bad thing by defending his brethren and he ended up killing a man that was probably about to kill his brethren. He was his brother's keeper. He was, and he's lauded for it in the New Testament. And we need to be likewise, those kind of men. But right now, it's a non-optional right. At least if you're not a Christian. If you're a Christian, it's a non-optional responsibility.
Right, right. Absolutely. 314, go ahead.
I'm sorry. So even probably the component of the Constitution that comes closest to being biblical is nothing compared to what we find in the Bible when it comes to the same issue of bearing arms.
Right, absolutely. And you can't very well take care of your family and others around you if you don't have the tools to do it. They're trying to deny you that all the time. That's what all this gun control stuff is all about. And
that's what you can do with a right versus a God. You know, it's a quote alleged God-given right to do so versus a God-expected responsibility. And it's not even a right. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but there's only one. There's only one being who has any rights to anything, and it's our Creator. Even life is not a right. It's a gift, and it's a responsibility to the one who created us. Only God has rights. It's inherent in who he is as creator. Ours is a responsibility, not rights. We don't have a right to anything. If we have a right to life, then God was obligated to create us. And therefore, he can't judge us for what's our right to do with as we please. It makes him subservient to us if life is a right and everything that comes with it. And I've got two blog articles I would also recommend regarding the rights issue. And one is called Rights, Man's Sacrilegious Claim to Divinity, and America's Road to Hell Paved with Rights.
Okay.
And that'll be found on the blog, which is found on our website.
Okay. Yeah, I urge everybody to go up there, and which I'm going to do. I don't tell you guys to do anything I'm not going to do. In fact, there's several of these things that I think we want to get into on some future shows, more on the way things were in this country back in the 1600s. Let me run this one by you. I know we're short on time, but let me run this one by you, because I know what we're going to get out of this, too. I can read people's minds before they ever do it, at least in theory. And that is that they'll say, but why would we want to go back to the 1600s? Life was so much harder back then. We didn't have any of the conveniences back then that we do now and all this kind of stuff. In fact, you know, it's interesting, because I was reading an article by Gary DeMar, and a lady wrote into him, and she wrote into him for the wrong reasons. I mean, she was trying to justify the the futurist end time stuff and the rapture and all this kind of stuff. But she was trying to insinuate that things were better in the good old days, which, you know, there was a time in this country, certainly, 30, 40 years ago, where at least we didn't have this level of crime. Like out here, you used to be able to leave your doors unlocked, you know, out here in this little town that I live in. Can't do that now, but you used to be able to do that. And so I would have to disagree with Gary on that there. But we always had problems bubbling beneath the surface in this country. And there's too many numerous instances. Some of them we'll have to get into on future shows, stuff that was even going on back in the before we were born, back even in the 40s and 50s, that were going on. And as you alluded to, Ted, this that you could take this all the way back to even as far as, and Trish kind of alluded to the issue with the Illuminati back right at the same time the Declaration of Independence was being signed. But the point I'm making is that there's a lot of people out there who would probably say, well, why would I want to go back to the 1600s when life was so hard and we didn't have all the conveniences that we have now? What would you say to that?
Well, the first thing I would say is that we need to keep in light of that question, we need to keep Deuteronomy 28 in mind, where we find God's blessings and cursings, blessings for those who look to him as sovereign and his law as supreme, and those who are cursed when they don't look to his law as sovereign and him as sovereign and his laws as supreme. Cursed on one hand, blessed on the other. America, you know, we have been part of this bamboozlement, as I call it, that's occurred. Part of that is that America became a great, prosperous nation because of what took place in 1787, when in fact it was because of the early 1600s, because they looked to God as sovereign, and because they looked to his law as supreme, America was blessed. America began to be cursed when they codified the rebellion to those two things into law in 1787, incrementally at first by God's grace, but we are where we're at today because of it. So why do we have all that we have today? Well, it's because God blessed. He made America great and prosperous as a result of this, of what they did with his law in the 1600s, making it the supreme law of the land. Now, we're not talking about leaving all that God blessed us with. We're talking about going back to the law that provided those things and taking dominion of them again, so that we can once again become even a more prosperous and greater nation than what God already blessed us with and is beginning to take away from us, because we're now under the curses of Deuteronomy 28:15-68 rather than the blessings of Deuteronomy 1-14.
You know, it's interesting because I was about ready to go there. It's starting to be taken away from us now because even now, you know, the things that we see going on now, the attitude of so many people in business, like in a lot of these large corporations. I mean, you know, we talk about. I know myself here. I use them because they do facilitate my ability to run the station here. But as far as one of the things that has always bothered me, like, for example, with Apple, I mean, now we know that when, in the beginning of the book, in the book of Genesis, you know, it talks about, you know, Eve, you know, eating of the fruit of the tree. It doesn't say Apple specifically, but then you got Apple. Have you ever noticed, if you look at an Apple computer or an iPhone or something, they have a symbol of an apple on there with a bite taken out of it.
Yeah, I had forgot all about that, but somebody had showed that, or I saw it on the web, on the internet or something, several years ago. Somebody had showed that.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, I guess. Granted, I mean, the Bible doesn't say anything about an apple, but to me, it's I have a little bit of trouble with that, judging by the intent. It's obvious we know why they did that.
Yeah, probably. They were flaunting it in our face.
Yeah, and that's what I've said. And I said the day that man gets so arrogant that he can flaunt what he does in the face of God is, and I would insinuate that that's part of the reason why even Apple today finds itself in the mess it's in. I mean, on the surface, they seem to be raking in boatloads of money, but they're gradually getting to the point that the machine that just worked doesn't always work as well as it should anymore. And
well, we know that a house built on the sand instead of the rock, not on God's laws, God's word, but rather man's, it will crumble, whether it be the nation as a whole or whether it be these corporations or whatever.
Yeah.
We also know that a divided house will not stand, and you can bank on this: the constitutional republic is going to fall. And I think we're already seeing the beginnings of that. It's going to fall because it was built on sand, and it was from the get-go a divided house, and has only become more so, and even more so after Trump became president.
Yeah.
We are as divided as you possibly could be. It's going to fall. The question is, are Christians going to be prepared with God's law, His word, to fill the gap when it does? And I hope we are, but if not, we at least need to be preparing a future generation so that they can do it righteously.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Ted is just at the top of the hour here, and I want to thank you so much for being my guest. It's been a joy having you.
Well, thank you, Sam. I appreciate it, and it was so nice to have Trish come on the show with us.
Absolutely. That really, yeah, I was. She's done a lot of research on some of this stuff herself, and it was really a joy to have her participating in this, too. Just, I don't know, maybe we were stunning people. Maybe that's why they didn't call in, but that's okay. You know, it is what it is. But anyway,
The seeds were planted.
The seeds were planted. That's exactly right. And so thank you again so kindly. Have a blessed evening, and we'll connect again.
All right. God bless.
You bet. And good night. There he is, ladies and gentlemen, Ted Weiland, and you can go to his website, Bible Verses, spelled out, versesconstitution.org. Certainly gives you some stuff to think about, and I know myself, Trish and I have talked about this. In fact, a few years back, Charlie had gotten me onto a document put forth by Patrick Henry,